Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday morning chapel. Today we will use a little devotional service known as the Office of Prime. That means referring to the first thing we would do in the morning, Office of Prime. You'll find it on page 108 in the front part of your hymn book, page 108, the Office of Prime. And please join me there in the versicles and Gloria Patri and then also the Confession of Sin. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I have sinned against you through my own fault, in thought, word, and deed. For the sake of the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, forgive me all my sin, and bring me to everlasting life. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is taken from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19. And Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Many years ago, a lady in a church I was serving had been an adult convert, was brought to faith when she was probably in her 30s. Apparently, she had been out golfing one day and got into a group of golfers that included the previous pastor from the church I was serving. And he had cancer and was dying of cancer. And because of their friendship on the golf course, he started to talk to her about spiritual matters. And through that conversation and witness to her, she had become a member of the church. But through the years, he had passed away and another pastor had come, and she had now fallen away from church. And I had now come as the third pastor of this congregation for her. And by this time, she wasn't going to church very much. So I went to visit her on what we would call a delinquent call, trying to encourage her to come back to church. And in the middle of my discussion with her, her husband yelled out, he wasn't a member, he yelled out from the living room, we were sitting in the dining room, "The church is out of touch." And I said, excuse me? And he said, "The church is out of touch. If you could tell me how to put my son through college, or if you could tell me how to improve my taxes and things, that's something the church could do that would have some real value. But the church is out of touch." He's actually kind of right from the world's perspective. The church is pretty out of touch. But at the same time, the church is probably the place that is more in touch with reality than any institution in the world. I turned and I said to him, "So if I were able to help you become a millionaire and you died the next week, how would that really benefit you?" In the text before us, Jesus is speaking to Christians. He's speaking to his disciples, those who are the closest to him, those who are regularly, on a daily basis, hearing him speak and teach. Some of them had even left their earthly occupations and maybe their families to go and follow him and to be with him. So why in the world would Jesus use these kinds of words of warning even to those sitting closest to him as he's giving this sermon? Well, the reason is materialism and being latched onto mammon or the things of this world is something that even the strongest Christians still wrestle with and struggle with. Our Lord knows the lure of the riches of this world. He knows what a powerful thing that can be. In fact, it's one of the best arsenals in the devil's weapons against us, one of the best weapons in his arsenal against us. In fact, he tempted our Lord himself with mammon. He took him up and showed him the splendor of the world, and he said to him, "All this I will give you if you just bow down to me and worship me." One of Jesus' own disciples, Judas, who sat at his feet, who saw him raise people back to life from the dead, who witnessed his miracles and saw that he was the Son of God and heard this regularly, daily Bible study with Jesus, even he gets pulled away by the lure of money. 30 pieces of silver. In the first century of the Christian church, pastors had to be warned as well that one of the qualifications for them being in this office was that this man was not to be greedy for money. It's a temptation for every one of us, even the strongest Christians, even those who stand and teach people about the Christian faith. You see, there's something about how we're wired with our sinful nature that we want heaven now. We want our glory now. We don't like having to wait for the glory that there is. We're kind of like, we got Halloween coming up. It'd be kind of like little kids coming to your door for Halloween for trick-or-treat, and you hold out a piece of candy or a future retirement home for them someday and give them the choice of which one they want to take. They'll always grab the candy. That's how we are when it comes to eternal things as well. We want what's going to feel good now. We want what's going to satisfy us right now. There's an urge in us to grab the things that are going to make us feel better right now. And we can so easily let the world establish where value is to be found. I'll give you a good example of that. I was serving a congregation years ago right after a woman's Bible study, and a lady from our church who was probably in her late 30s, very active in our congregation, very involved. She would come and volunteer to do work for the church as well as for the school. Didn't take any money for it, just did a lot of volunteer work for the congregation. Her husband had a job, and her kids were both now in school. And after Bible study one day, one of the fellow Christian women who was in the Bible study was questioning her on why she didn't go out and get a job because she could make so much more money and have so much more of an income. And this poor woman was having to defend the fact that she was coming to give of her time to volunteer at the church and school to work for the kingdom of God without any pay, because she was giving up all this potential money she could be earning. And I thought, how sad. Right after Bible study, right in the narthex of our church, someone has to defend wanting to uphold the things of the kingdom of God. It just shows how we can let the world and how the world looks at life establish where our priorities should be and what really should have value and what really should matter to us in life. So our Lord Jesus cuts through all of that with these very clear statements about where our treasure is. And he reminds us that everything you can get in life has an expiration date. Everything you can have and get in life, including your body and your looks, will ultimately fade away in this world. And God may choose to start taking some of those things away from us in this life just to keep us properly focused. A Norwegian pastor said this, "It is grace when the Lord lays hold of our goods, takes them away, all of them or some of them, as much as he knows we can handle, to teach us to recognize our idolatrous trust in mammon and to free us from it." Jesus just brings up a few of the ways moth and rust can destroy. Thieves can break in and steal. Think of all the ways stuff in our lives could be just taken away from us. Back in 1998, there was a horrific tornado that swept through St. Peter. You can still see the results of it in town. 600 homes were destroyed. 1,700 homes were damaged. 80% of the windows on the Gustavus campus had to be replaced. The Gustavus football field, they had to dig down 6 feet deep into the ground and replace the entire field for fear of all the glass and nails and debris that would be buried in the dirt that might come up someday and hurt the players. As you would drive out of town for months, in fact years after that, you could see the debris from houses and homes and clothing hanging in the trees on the north end of town. I still think about it every time I drive north out of St. Peter. Just think of all the stuff that we can accumulate in this life that's just going to end up in the trees, just going to end up in the ground. It's just going to end up as trash that people need to worry about. And yet we can be so focused on this stuff. My heart too. Our Lord wants us to live for something that's greater than that. He's come into this world and by his precious blood shed on the cross has paid to forgive us all of our sins, even our sins of greed and materialism. And in addition to that, has now purchased for us with his blood, has purchased for us an eternal home in the mansions of the Father above. This beautiful eternal home that is now waiting for us. And so he's instructing us through his word so that the Holy Spirit will help us keep our priorities straight in life. He says, "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." He wants you to have an eternally permanent home and future. And that's why he's come into this world, just for you and for me. So we pray today that God would help us keep our spiritual sights and spiritual houses in order and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be taken care of by our Heavenly Father. Amen. Please join me in the responsory on page 108. Let us rise. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy upon us. O Lord Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy upon us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. O Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. Arise, O Christ, and help us, and deliver us for your name's sake. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, bright Son of the world, shine upon my spirit and drive away the night of sin, that I may walk in your holy light all my life and even forevermore. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty order this day and all our doings in his peace. Amen.